Last spring, the PCC was reviewing our mission links, those we include in our regular prayer rota and also give some money to out of our annual budget. And we decided to include a local charity called the Lyme Trust for the first time. Just as an indication, can people give their hands up if they're familiar with the Lyme Trust? Quite a few. Well, for those who aren't, it's very locally based. It owns a cluster of properties just down the road from Holy Trinity Catholic Church, very close to the roundabout in the centre of Newcastle. And its focus is on providing supported accommodation and other forms of support for adults with a variety of mental health challenges and related issues. They celebrated their 50th anniversary last year, and they were founded to take over from the work of a very generous man who had opened up his home, a large home in the area, to the homeless. And when he passed away, one or two figures, including social services, decided that they wanted to provide an alternative now that that wasn't available. And they have, I think, something like 65 rooms in a cluster of properties, some of which they own, some of which they rent, and which they then rent out to those who otherwise could be homeless. Most of the work on that side of things being funded by housing benefit. It's clearly not straightforward work. If you look at their annual report, they've very much got a pathway that they're hoping will be followed in as many cases as possible of people being able to receive support in that kind of accommodation and progress on to independent living. And sometimes that happens, but because of the nature of some of the problems of people they support, sometimes drink and drugs are involved, sometimes they have to end tenancies earlier than they choose to, or people just walk away for alternative provision. But as well as the accommodation, they also have some staff who aim to provide cooking and life skills, outings and events, games and relaxation to provide something of a community feel. And obviously there's continual work in keeping their properties up to scratch and considering if they need more or less and things like that. So it's an important ministry to a group in need, and we're pleased to be able to support it. And when I contacted them 2 or 3 weeks ago to ask if somebody could come to speak to us, they said yes, so someone is speaking at the 10:45 service. And then to complement that, I thought I would say a little and have chosen the two readings to fit with that. First of which, of course, was from Proverbs. The story is told of a teacher who gave each member of her class of 9-year-olds the first half of a well-known saying and asked them to say either if they knew how it finished or to suggest how it might finish. They came up with, better to be safe than punch an 11-year-old. Strike while the bug is close. And don't bite the hand that looks dirty. As you'll know, the Bible has a whole book of Proverbs, one part of which we heard read earlier. Some of them are rather like the original versions of the saying and sayings I began with, just giving one important consideration to bear in mind, with sometimes a proverb giving what appears to be the opposite perspective alongside. Others of the biblical proverbs, though, are rather more authoritative. Wisdom that the people of God neglect at their peril. And I chose this particular section of Proverbs because 3 of the 15 verses that we heard read relate well to our support of the Lyme Trust. Beginning with verse 4, haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. Because, of course, those of us who are doing all right in life can very easily look down on others. The parable of Jesus that we heard read earlier gives a dramatic picture of that attitude in action. Second of the characters he talks about is the tax collector, which meant in those times he was rather disloyal to his own people, collaborating with their Roman occupiers to extract a tax on the local population, and all to finance the very army that was subjugating them. Tax collecting, that meant, was a job you'd only do because of the money you could make yourself. The only virtue was, in this man's case, it meant that he knew he'd gone wrong. He came to God humble, crying, "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." And Jesus assures his followers that that man was indeed justified, forgiven by God. "For he who humbles himself will be exalted," Jesus promised. But the first of the characters in Jesus' parable fits in rather well with the first of these proverbs that we're focusing on. Because the man described there is proud before God. A Pharisee who looks down on the other people, and especially the other fellow who'd come into the temple. "I thank you that I am not like other men, adulterers, extortioners, unjust, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes, a tenth of all that I get." And Jesus warns of the severe spiritual consequences of that attitude. The Pharisee goes home without his relationship to God having been sorted out. "For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled," Jesus warns. And this proverb speaks in similar terms. For any who might be tempted to have a proud attitude when they hear of others in need, like those who require the help of the Lyme Trust, whether that contempt is obvious in our eyes, on our expression, or rather better concealed in our heart, there's a problem. I don't think the word haughty is a very good translation, because that's a word that's only rarely used these days and always to describe other people's attitude, never our own. We're far more likely to admit, though, that we sometimes show the wrong kind of pride, which a person can have even as we contribute a few pounds to help, as the Pharisee did. These traits are described as the lamp of the wicked, like a little indicator bulb on an electrical device that lights up, indicating what's going on inside, only in a bad way. Haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, our sin. On to our second saying, which relates to today's subject, from verse 13 of Proverbs 21. "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." There's an interesting metaphor there. You might think that our hearing doesn't have a shut-off system, and it can't be completely silenced in the same way that our vision can be blocked by closing our eyelids or putting on a sleep mask or simply looking in another direction. But even though the phrase selective hearing may be relatively new, this proverb tells us the reality isn't. A wife observed to her husband, "You only hear what you want to hear." He replied, "Yes, I'd love a beer, thank you." Maybe whoever first penned that rather blunt proverb about a quarrelsome wife was himself a major cause of strife by his not listening when legitimate needs were first expressed. And in this second verse we're focusing on, we're reminded how the needs of others, the cry of the poor, as it's vividly described, can sometimes go unheard. With the warning, "Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered." That may be meant as an admonition that other people may neglect our voice when we're in a time of need. It may be speaking even more starkly of God not choosing to answer our prayers. And then the last of the three proverbs we're focusing on today, from verse 3. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. When we read that word sacrifice, our minds may immediately think of it as pointing to what we'd call self-sacrifice or altruism. To the people in Old Testament times to whom the proverb was originally addressed, much of their formal worship, there was literal sacrifices of a dove or a lamb, perhaps, which for them had been commanded by God. But the writer of the proverb is aware of the danger that that could be seen as suggesting that all God really required of a person was that they worship him in the right way. This, though, is one of a dozen or so verses appearing in many different parts of the Bible, saying emphatically that is not true. Jesus himself emphasized the importance of this in quoting the words that the prophet Isaiah had first spoken, "For I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Formal worship since the time of Jesus doesn't, of course, include animal sacrifice. But worship is still expected as an expression of our faith. This, though, is an important reminder that isn't everything or even the most important thing in God's eyes. As the proverb writer puts it, to do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. As you'll know, St. Andrew's gives a proportion of our income to external agencies, which include the Lyme Trust, responding to practical needs locally, and then Tear Fund, responding to third world need. I hope that doesn't mean any church members think that by giving to the church, we've therefore discharged our obligations to those kind of needs. On the contrary, I hope and pray that the church's corporate gestures inspire each member to think what we can do with our money, with our time, with our gifts and talents. Remembering these three warnings from Proverbs: haughty eyes and a proud heart, the lamp of the wicked, are sin. Whoever closes his ear to the cry of the poor will himself call out and not be answered. To do righteousness and justice is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Amen.